Good morning.
Good morning.
Everyone. Welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also known as WHUF. My name is Brad Hewitt. I use the pronouns he and him, and it's awesome to see all of you here this morning or joining us online, and it's a pleasure to serve this welcoming congregation. This morning we gather together to worship as a community of all ages. Let us take a moment to look around at those sharing us the sacred space. May we recognize the hearts of our whole community, from our elders to our youngest, and all the ages in between. Let us embody the beauty of this whole community. Know you are surrounded by love, where you are welcome. We especially want to welcome those who are here for the first time. If you look on the back of the seat in front of you, we invite you to fill out a welcome form so we can get to know you better, or scan the codes. Oh, well, it's not inconvenient. I'm just going to hold it up here and talk. I'll just talk on this. We'll try it. It's kind of fun. All right, here we go. So, where are we? Oh, there's a QR code on the back of your seat as well. You can scan that if you'd like. Then you're going to get into our email system, and you'll get all the things. So, all right, this goes in my pocket. Today's service is being live-streamed and recorded and will be available on our YouTube channel. You're also welcome to watch the service live downstairs where there is more space and wiggle room to move around, whether you're wiggling as an adult or wiggling as a kid. For our online viewers, we offer a follow-up online coffee hour for socializing and sharing about the service. If you received a link to your order of service, it will be in there so you can get to the coffee hour, too. For those of us here in person, please join us downstairs. We've got coffee, tea, and conversation. It's a great time to just talk, relax, and meet new folks. So let's take a couple of minutes, look around, say hi, especially if there's someone you don't know. Say hello to them this morning. If Rosie would come forward, we'll light our chalice. Go right ahead, Rosie. As Rosie lights our chalice, may this flame, the symbol of transformation since time began, fire our curiosity, strengthen our wills, and sustain our courage. Good job. As we seek what is good within and around us, please join me in our affirmation.
Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love ourselves and our neighbors.
And now if you would please join us in Spirit of Life.
Spirit of life, come unto me, sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the winds, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving faith the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me
called A Renewed Hope for This World by Nathan Ryan. Be it real or metaphor, whatever is in your backpack or your briefcase or your purse that you've brought into this sanctuary, whether metaphorical or real, what is weighing you down? Leave it behind. Whatever you are carrying that is keeping you distracted, or caught up in shame, or guilt, or hopelessness, leave it behind. If you need it, it will be there when we're done. But for this hour, just let it go. Come into this place with open hearts. Come into this place with a soul that has remembered how to be tender again. Come into this place with a renewed hope for this world. Come into this place ready to build a world we've always been worthy of and have always dreamed of. And now we'll have our opening hymn, Meditation on Breathing, 1009 in the green hymnal, or the words will be on the screen.
So the melody is kind of low. Well, give me a G, would you? When I bring in, I bring out this, when I bring out.
Pause to reflect on the blessings and the gifts that we have received from this abundant earth and this generous spirit of this community. May we also consider what we are grateful for. Our WOOF community thrives because of the generous spirit of those around you and where all are welcome. As the music plays, please consider what you have to offer our community, whether it be financial support, time, talent, or ideas. Know that we all benefit and are grateful for your generosity. The host will come forward. Thank you for your gifts today. Please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
I forgot to mention earlier, it's the Brad Show today, so, you know, I'm going to do all the things, but it's kind of fun. So I get to read the Time for All Ages, which I really enjoy, because I get to do voices. If there's any kids here, you're welcome to come on up and have a seat on the front row. Kids of all ages. Or you can hear it right from where you're sitting now. So that's okay. So our story today is called Zen Shorts by John J. Muth. Michael, there's a bear outside, said Carl. A what? Said Michael. A bear. He's really big. And he's in the backyard. What's he doing? Michael asked. He's sitting. He has an umbrella, said Carl. An umbrella? By the time the boys got outside, their sister Addie was already talking with him. I'm sorry for arriving unannounced, said the bear. The wind carried my umbrella all the way from my backyard to you. I thought I would retrieve it before it became a nuisance. He spoke with a slight panda accent. Michael introduced himself. Then Addie introduced Carl, because Carl was shy around bears he didn't know. And this is how Addie, Michael, and Carl met Stillwater. The day after that, Carl went to visit Stillwater. Michael said, I couldn't bring over all our stuff to go swimming. I'm mad at Michael. He's always telling me what to do. So I brought everything. Said Stillwater. It's a little pool. I don't know if all those things will fit. Let's see, Carl said. Let's see, said Stillwater. Stillwater looked at the pool. The things can go swimming, but we can't, he said. I brought too much stuff, said Carl. That's okay, said Stillwater. I'll help you carry it home later. Why does Michael always have to tell me what to do? Carl said. If he were here, I would climb up really high. And I would jump on him like this. And I'd do a big smash like this. Later, Carl and Stillwater had tea. Carl, said Stillwater, you spent the whole day being angry with Michael. Did you notice how much fun we had? Carl watched the steam rise from his cup. I'm sorry I brought all this stuff, Carl said. You don't need to be sorry, said Stillwater. Right now, you need to carry. Hold on tight, and I will tell you a story. A heavy load. Two traveling monks reached a town where there was a young woman waiting to step out of her sedan chair. The rains had made deep puddles and she couldn't step across without spoiling her silken robes. She stood there looking very cross and impatient. She was scolding her attendants. They had nowhere to place the packages they held for her, so they couldn't help her across the puddle. A younger monk noticed the woman and said nothing, and walked by. The older monk quickly picked her up, put her on his back, transported her across the water, and put her down on the other side. She didn't thank the older monk. She just shoved him out of her way and departed. As they continued on their way, the younger monk was brooding and preoccupied. After several hours, unable to hold his silence, he spoke out. That woman back there was very selfish and rude, but you picked her up on your back and carried her. Then she didn't even thank you. I set the woman down hours ago, the older monk replied. Why are you still carrying her? Do you think you have carried it long enough? Asked Stillwater. Yes, said Carl. Good, said Stillwater. And that is how Addie, Michael, Carl, and Stillwater became friends. The end. So if we please stand and join arches and sing our children out to their classes. A sorrow shared is a sorrow lessened, and a joy shared is a joy multiplied. In front here is a bowl of water and stones. The stones represent the weight of pain and also the fullness of joy. The water gently envelops and settles them together as our community surrounds us. If you choose, you may now come forward and place a stone in the water. I will have a microphone if you're moved to say a few brief words to those gathered here and online.
To see my wolf friends.
This is for our great grandson who will be born in December.
And one last stone for all those joys and sorrows, for those at home or here that we hold in our hearts. And now we will pause in silence for reflection, prayer, or meditation as you wish. And I have a reading called Exploring the Mystery by Kate Landis. The ancients told stories and wrote parables to explain what they had found when exploring the mystery. That is all religion is. People wondering about where we came from, why we are here, and where we go after we die. The Bible, the Eightfold Path of Buddhism, the seven principles of our own Unitarian Universalist tradition, all are just ideas people had about what made life meaningful. What you think about holiness is just as valid and just as true. So, what do you think about holiness? What do you think about God, the Buddha, Allah, the divine, the wind through the trees? There's nothing to be afraid of. Your spiritual quest begins now. And I'd like to welcome our speakers up for the day. You're welcome to come up and have a couple seats or however you want to do it. Come on up.
I think we'll just...
One at a time? Sure. Gloria Jean Baca, Natalie Reich, and Anne Dryad are here with us today offering an invitation to the Wolf Sangha to anyone present in this room or joining us online.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
My name is Gloria Jean, and I stand before you in gratitude today, sharing with you information about the Buddhist meditation group that meets here on the Wolf campus every Sunday. A little bit about me. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Sorry, what did that? Nice.
All right, guys, good morning. I'm Gloria Jean, and I stand before you in gratitude today, sharing with you information about the Buddhist meditation group that meets here on the Wolf campus, down the hall, actually, every Sunday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. To tell you a little bit about me, I came to the Universal Unitarian Congregation about 20 years ago, and the first time that I ever attended a service, I heard the song Spirit of Life by Carolyn Dade that just opened today, and it made a big impression on me. In particular, the phrase, sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. And that's become my spiritual mantra, and I feel that that's a mantra that's shared by other people that attend the Buddhist Sangha group here on the campus. I didn't start I didn't start attending the Buddhist Sangha group until about 2 years ago, and I've been really pleased with it. I'm really happy with the group and with the personalities and the talents of the people that attend. So you may be wondering, what kind of person am I and what kind of people attend? So in a very general way, I would like to say that the group is full of creators, curators, scientists, investigators, nurturers, relatives, children of this beautiful earth, warriors, healers, artists, and friends. We all seem to share a certain idea, which is that we want to become better people and that we want to live fully. And we all try to hold this space with each other for an hour every Sunday to be here now. I'd like to start in a very Buddhist way with the land acknowledgement. I know it's the middle of the service, but I like to do this when I speak publicly. And I'll start with a quote from one of our Buddhist books. The quote says, "If we can get over our idea that wisdom is exclusive to certain people or groups, then our world expands dramatically." And that's in the book Rebel Buddha by Dzogchen Ponlap Rinpoche that we covered this year. Let's put that into practice with the land acknowledgement. The land I stand on, we stand on, was inhabited and cared for by indigenous people since time immemorial. Archaeological records indicate at least 11,000 years of indigenous people living here on this land, caring for it. That includes the Multnomah, Wasco, Cowlitz, Kathlamet, Clackamas, Banza Chinook, Tualatin, Kalapuya, Mulala, and many other tribes that made their homes along the rivers here. And to be fully honest about it, Portland Parks and Recreation's website acknowledges a systemic practice of genocide, relocation, assimilation that continues to affect families today. A local university described it as layered struggles over land use, citizenship rights, and social belonging that persist to this day. This includes not being regarded, respected, or seen for significant contributions to science, art, and spirituality. And as a baby Buddhist, and as a fellow human and ally, I respect the work of indigenous leaders and families, and I'm grateful to these brothers, sisters, and cousins in my human family. I acknowledge that I benefit from their cultural practices, from their spirituality, and from their land stewardship to this day. May their now and their futures be blessed and vibrant, just as all of ours should be blessed and vibrant. I want to shift back to the meditation group, which I'll describe to you. It's in person every Sunday, 9 to 10. It could be attended also by way of Zoom. It's inclusive. It's a lay structure. There's no particular path of Buddhism that's chosen or read about. In general, it's a 20-20-20 format where we spend 20 minutes saying hello, covering business, checking in, 20 minutes talking about a book that we've democratically selected, and we cover it in a sort of book club fashion and how it resonated with us. And then we spend 20 minutes in a group meditation. You sign up for weekly updates, and that helps to right track the conversation for that particular Sunday. And repeat attendees refer to the group as Sangha, which is Sanskrit or Pali for community. The general vibe of the group is that Buddhism is a philosophy and that it doesn't compete with other beliefs. We bring the practice of compassion and the attitude of altruism into our life in two ways: by developing a strong and clear intention to do so, and then by doing so. The Buddha is not an object of worship, but of inspiration. Remembering Buddha is like looking in a mirror. We're looking to try and see our true self, the face of our enlightenment, to see our own awakened nature. And I bring that up because some people think that the use of a Buddha is some form of idolatry, but it's really not. It's just to remind yourself to be peaceful, to be awakened, to be enlightened, and to be compassionate. In Buddha's own words translated, he talks about being skillful. He talks about abandoning practices that are unskillful and says that if it wasn't possible, he wouldn't ask you to do it. But because it brings benefit and contentment, abandon what is unskillful and cultivate what is skillful. Again, he says if it were not possible, he would not tell you to do it. But the cultivation brings benefit and contentment to develop what is skillful. In doing that, you change your thinking. And as you change your thinking, your actions change. And as you change your actions, your thinking changes. And you enter into a feedback loop that's very rewarding as you feel yourself growing spiritually. So here we are, changing and being changed. And in Sangha, we do that together. I learn from your life experiences. And as you listen to mine, I feel like I could share my life experiences with you. The guidelines in general are just to start with compassion in your day-to-day activities, starting with self-compassion for yourself, extending that to your one-on-one connections with the people around you, and then extending that gradually to everyone you meet. The overall goal is to reduce our own personal suffering, to help reduce the suffering of others, and to seek truth and to uphold truth, to be witnesses to each other. With Sangha, we support each other's enlightenment and awakening as other compassionate beings. What does this mean to me? It means I'm not alone. It means I contain multitudes. It means I can make choices. And it inspires me to be my best self with other people that are trying to be their best selves as well.
Natalie.
Good morning, and thank you for this opportunity to help introduce our Sangha. I've been in the Sangha for intermittently since its inception for about 20 years. I was initially drawn to the Sangha from a desire to return to a philosophy that I had dipped my toe into in my much younger years. And then later on in my life, when I was in the behavioral health field, a cutting-edge therapy was entirely based on practices that came from Buddhism. And it was all about a skill set that helped with emotion regulation and distress tolerance through self-acceptance and mindfulness. One Buddhist meditation that Gloria referred to is called metta, and it's called loving-kindness meditation, starting with oneself, wishing oneself well, then broadening it out to the well-wishing of others that are close to us, then others that are not so close to us, and then even to our enemies or people that we might have issues with. This acceptance theme, I believe, arises out of the Buddhist concept of no self. This is a quote: "Any feeling whatsoever, past, future, present, blatant or subtle, this is not what I am. Every feeling is to be seen as it actually is, with right understanding. This is not mine." This is a quote from the Buddha, as quoted in a book called Buddha's Nature by Westminster. A lot of these quotes that I read will be from that book, except for one. Our Sangha keeps us reading things that help shift our mind states from an unhelpful one to a more positive state, as we delve more deeply into Buddha's teachings through discussion. Not every book we read is strictly Buddhist, but the themes are always there. A Qigong class that I attend begins with this greeting. And it represents that the whole is greater than the sum of its parts, and that each of us is an integral part of the whole. My practice is often Qigong exercises as well as sitting meditation. There is one thing that, when cultivated and practiced, leads to a deep spiritual intention, peace, mindfulness, and clear comprehension to vision and knowledge, to a happy life here and now, and to the culmination of wisdom and awakening. And what is that one thing? It is mindfulness centered on the body. So, of course, that pertains to our sitting meditation, which is often focused on breath and body. Another thing that drew me into this Sangha originally was that it was lay-led. This was back in the early 90s, which was the same thing that led me to Wolf at that particular time. I had been disillusioned with revered teachers who didn't live up to the teachings at all. And then I continued to hear stories about spiritual teachers not doing so. I used to call Buddhism the flip side of Unitarian Universalism, sharing many of the same principles and not requiring a religious faith, but much less extroverted than Wolf. Some may describe meditation as navel-gazing, but without getting to know our own minds, we cannot live or act with integrity. In our discussions, the readings are elucidated and become more personally significant. An analogy from the current book by Thupten Chodron that we're reading, called Three Faulty Pots. The first pot is upside down. Nothing can be poured inside it. This is analogous to reading Dharma books while watching television. We're so distracted that very little of what we read goes inside our minds. The second faulty pot has a hole in the bottom. Something may go inside, but it doesn't stay there. We may read the book with attention, but if a friend later asks us what the chapter was about, we can't remember. The third defective pot is dirty. Even if we pour fresh, clean milk inside and it stays there, it becomes undrinkable. This is similar to filtering what we read through our own preconceptions and ideas. We don't understand the subject correctly because it has been polluted with our misinterpretations. And so the group, in a way, keeps us honest in that regard. And another thing, we all know where hubris has gotten us, and I appreciate the humility that is intrinsic to Buddhism. This is a quote from Alan Watts. We are temporarily identifiable wiggles in a stream that enters us in the form of light, heat, air, water, and milk. It goes out as gas, excrement, semen, babies, talk, politics, war, and also poetry and music. Or a less graphic way to make a similar point from Ajahn Chah, another teacher, when we examine all that we call mind, we see only a conglomeration of mental elements, not a self. Feeling, memory, perception are all shifting through the mind like leaves in the wind. We can discover this through meditation. Many years before I joined this group, I once asked a coworker who I knew was interested in Buddhism, that if he had to describe one concept that was the most significant one in Buddhism, or what illustrates Buddhism the most, he said emptiness. And I was thinking, if one would ask me, I would say connection. And at the time, I thought we were on opposite sides of the spectrum. But I now see these as just two sides of the very same coin. And I'll end with, may I be happy, may I be well, may I be at peace. May you all be happy, may you all be well, may you be at peace. May all beings be happy, well, and at peace. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I came to Wolf in 1992. I was raised a Unitarian before they had the principles. I remember when I heard Tracy talking about how the Unitarians had no principles. I suffered in my adolescence existential angst because I had to figure out the truth by myself. Wonderful, terrible, wonderful gift. So when I came to Wolf in 1992, I was looking for role models of adults that had figured out how to be healthy, happy adults in the Unitarian Universalist faith and were up to twinkle speed. So I found a lot of people here, but there are specific people that need to be mentioned. Over by that window, Rachel and Randall Kester and I sat for years on the hard wooden benches, which is one still downstairs, and they would greet me with this witty, unconditional, loving energy every Sunday. They were wonderful. Another couple that I became friends with were Kathleen and Peter Sorrell. And Kathleen Sorrell did an everyday miracle in my life. When I told her that I had been raised a Unitarian and that my background was in dance movement therapy and I wanted to dance in church, she introduced me to Ashleen Rubinstein. And Ashleen and I started the dance choir, and for 18 years we danced here in church. And many people, including Natalie, came and danced with us. It was heaven on earth, just an everyday miracle. And the last couple that I want to mention is, Anne-Marie and Ralph Owis, parents of John Owis, used to sit in the second pew, and they would pour this Buddha-like, unconditional, loving energy on us when we were dancing on the stage. It was just such incredible approval. The other couple that I wanted to last talk about was Joanne and George Nordling came here in 1967, and I was told by my List mom, Karen Van Hoy, that she actually said she joined an existing meditation group. So I always thought of her as a founder, but she said she actually joined it. So I think it's been over 20 years that this meditation group has been going on. And Joanne had this beauty that shone through her. And when I would come in late, because for some reason I always thought it was 9:30 to 10:30, she would smile at me and I was perfectly on time. I mean, she was incredible. So I thank her very much for her energy, for welcoming me, because eventually I actually started attending religiously. So Buddhist thoughts offer philosophy to identify the causes of suffering, and then it offers tools to skillfully work past them to illumination. So the Four Noble Truths are, one, there is suffering. Two, there is a way that leads to the end of suffering. Three, well-being is recognized and there is a noble path that leads us to well-being. So they're like planks under my feet walking that path. We have been reading Open Heart, Clear Mind by Thubten Chodron. And I wanted to read from chapter 4, on managing anger, transforming fears and aversions. Many people live with a victim mentality, constantly feeling helpless, mistreated, and fearful. However, the more we understand the workings of our minds and the functioning of cause and effect within our mental continuums, the more we'll understand that our present interpretations, as well as our past actions, have played vital roles in the evolution of what we experience. We are, in some way, responsible for what is happening to us. Are we perceiving the situation accurately? How does anger arise in us? The pain comes from our thinking, "She's talking to me. Me! How dare she talk to me like that?" I and me get bigger the more we think about what happened. We look at the situation from one side, my side, and that's how it exists in reality. We believe that our biased views are objective. So is anger an appropriate reaction? The person who insulted us is a living being who wants to be happy and avoid problems just like we do. The method they are using may be confused, but their wish is the same as ours, to be happy. If indeed we did make a mistake and someone points it out, why be angry? If someone notices our mistake, what they're saying is true, the mistake is ours, and we may owe them an apology. They're showing us how to improve ourselves. On the other hand, if they unjustly accuse us, why be angry? If someone tells you you have horns on your head, we don't get angry because we know it's not true. Once our anger is stilled, there is a space for compassion and patience. A clear mind free of short-sighted and turbulent anger can realistically examine alternative ways to act and decide what is best for everyone concerned. I think that the ability to change one's early patterned behaviors and not always act out of ego defenses is one of the best things of what we've been studying. And Diane Liu, who's one of our Zoom members, is very much about the brain and how the different parts work and also how all of our brains potentially work differently. But she also talks about we don't really mature our brain, the frontal cortex, till 21 to 27. And so our frontal cortex doesn't come on. And there's the executive function that tells us what day of the week it is and what we're supposed to do. It's planning. But there's a vagus nerve, and this is a very important part of the frontal cortex. One of them is the abandoned ship, dive overboard, and be helpless. I've done that very well for years. The other part, which is part of why the Sangha is helpful, is the Buddha brain is going up and seeing a larger perspective. It's heightened awareness of seeing things rather than circling into the drain underneath the rock. So Diane talks about meditation is a way of exercising that Buddha part of our brain to choose to go around and up and to awaken higher mindfulness and become the Buddha that you and I can be. So again, I want to acknowledge that this is an invitation to people to come and check us out either in person from 9 to 10 or on Zoom. And do we have time for a few questions? Do you guys want to come up in case...
You wait about 8 minutes to do that. So if anybody has a question and wants to pick me up a little bit, Jim, please. If anybody wants to come around, I'll give you my headset mic. You can talk into it. If you have any questions, raise your hand. It's my favorite part of lay leading. Oh, okay, great. To run around.
What if you're a slow reader?
We read very small sections at a time.
Loud, yep, be in the microphone. Sorry, yep. So the folks can like.
We go through the books very slowly. One chapter, if it's a short chapter, if it's a really long chapter, we might break it up. So it's not a big chunk that you have to read before each one. And you don't even have to read it because most weeks the facilitator will submit some notes in advance that do a little summary of what we'll be talking about. So even, you know, it's preferred to read it, but if you don't get to it, it's not the end of the world.
Yes, in fact, for the first year and a half or so, I never read the book and was totally dependent on the wonderful facilitator to bring in notes. And I could join in. I didn't have to do prep work. I could just be there.
It's not so much about the book per se or what's inside the book. A lot of what it is the book is the stimulus for the discussion. So, for example, if we're talking about Buddhist elements that are discussed in that chapter, some chapters are as short as 2 pages or 3 pages, then it just sort of directs what we're talking about, mostly.
Two comments. First, to Anne about being reactive and being in our ego. I heard a long time ago a little adage that I always thought rang true to me. And that's that between action and reaction is a space. And in that space lies our ultimate freedom. And this morning I read Mary Oliver poem, The Buddha's Last Instruction. And I thought, particularly with the graphic up there, it reminded me of part of this poem. It says... And then I feel the sun itself as it blazes over the hills like a million flowers on fire. Clearly I'm not needed, yet I feel myself turning into something of inexplicable value.
If you are interested in attending by Zoom, do we need to email you in order to get the Zoom link?
There are some pieces of paper that you can take with you that have the email address for the list mom, who will include you on the list of what the weekly reading is. And the members of the list generally receive only one email a week.
A selling point.
I just quickly wanted to ask Natalie, And could you refresh my memory on the names of the other two women?
Anne and Gloria Jean.
Anne and Gloria Jean.
Gloria
Jean. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Now we have our closing hymns. Now let us sing number 368 in the gray hymnal, gray-green. Please stand if you're able. In that song. Here's the medium high, the low high. So as we go forth, gentle encouragement that you can always put it down and leave it behind. I extinguish this flame, but not the vision and compassion of our faith. May they stay with us. Got the cool thing. We got to use it. May they stay with us until we meet again.